This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. In just a few days, it'll be a new year. We have made resolutions after resolutions to be good, to stop a habit that is unhealthy for us, or to begin to do something that the Lord has told us to do. Yet we have given in again and again. We have failed. We tell ourselves that there's no way that we can ever be set free. We aren't strong enough spiritually to change. We are sick, sick of body and soul. As a registered nurse, I was an active participant in the healing of many bodies, but I didn't know of any doctor who could heal my soul. And heal myself? Are you kidding? Well, it was impossible. I had tried. After my divorce, there was a wound that no one could heal. Although our family had been very religious, the Bible and the Word had not been a central part of our lives. I actually believe that this healing was for everyone but me. By this time, I had lived for 45 years and never really believed everything that God said and had promised was for me. I felt like the child that stands outside the home of a happy family, looking in through the window with their nose pressed against the glass, hoping that sometime this would be me. In the midst of this painful divorce, I found the God who saw me right where I was, in the middle of my pain, my anger, and my fear. It was Jehovah Rapha, the God who could and would heal me and my broken heart and my broken spirit. He was my Jehovah Rapha. During that time, he applied healing salve to my life, and I was healed of the pain of many years. Oh, I have had to walk out that healing. Sometimes it was a slow and painful process, but that healing did take place during the many hours I have spent with him. I have turned to Jehovah Rapha, the only one that can truly heal my soul. Are you wounded? Do you need a physician? Is there a balm in Gilead? Have you asked him to heal you? Have you run into the strong tower of his name, Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals? He will heal your body, your mind, and your soul. Sometimes we just need to stop telling God what we need and begin telling him who we need. We need him. We need more of him to be healed. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 through 25 tells us, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." I found my healing by turning to the shepherd and guardian of my soul, and so can you. He is the one that is trustworthy and faithful, not only for the here and now, but for eternity. I want to read Shmot, Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 27. Moshe led Israel onward from the Sea of Suf. They went out into the Shur desert, but after traveling 3 days in the desert, they had found no water. They arrived at Marah, but couldn't drink the water there because it was bitter. This is why they called it Marah, or bitterness. The people grumbled against Moshe and asked, "What are we to drink?" Moshe cried to Adonai, and Adonai showed him a certain piece of wood, which, when he threw it into the water, made the water taste good. There Adonai made laws and rules of life for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you will listen intently to the voice of Adonai your God, do what he considers right, pay attention to his mitzvot, and observe his laws, I will not afflict you with any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, because I am Adonai, your healer. Let me reread verse 26. Now remember that this is God, Jehovah Rapha, speaking. And he said, if you will, give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. Again, we're going to go to our study toolbox, and I want us to use the tool of asking questions of the text. So we'll be asking the who, what, where, when, why, and how questions. What would keep the people healthy? Again, in Exodus 15:26, it tells us, and if thou wilt diligently hearken to the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Or I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you. There is a caveat here. The little word, if. Did you notice it as I read? If we diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord our God. If we do that which is right in his sight. If we will give ear to his commandments. By the way, this word in the original text is Torah, or better translated as instructions. If we keep all his statutes. It's almost as if there's an invisible word between this and the promise. That word is then. It seems that this is more of an action-result statement. Jehovah Rapha was the one who was going to heal them then and who will heal us now. Another question we might ask of the text is, who put the diseases on whom? And why do you think he did this? God, through both his permissive will and through his determined will, put these diseases upon the Egyptians. He did it because of what he had just told his people. They had not hearkened to his voice. They had not done that which was right in his sight. They had not given ear to his commandments, his instructions, and they had not kept his statutes. It was a warning and a promise to the people. If you do, then I won't. Who would do the healing? Well, again, according to Shemot, Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord who heals you. He would do the healing. I want to read Devarim, or Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 39. Now, listen for a comparison to our passages in Shemot. I want to read Devarim, Deuteronomy 32, verse 39. Listen for a comparison to our passages in Shemot. See now that I am he, and there is no God beside me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. We read in Yeshayahu, or Jeremiah, chapter 46, verses 6 through 7, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these. There is nothing that happens in this world that hasn't been sifted through the fingers of God. Sometimes this is very difficult for us to understand. Why God? Why me? Why my family? Why? But we do have to remember that everything is under control. Our world is not running amok, although at times we may think so. God is in control. Do you have areas in your life that need the touch of the one who heals? Tell your Father, your Creator, your Healer about it. He understands. We know that Jehovah Rapha heals, but what does he heal? Let's do some cross-referencing to find this out. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, we read, "In those days Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, 'Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.' Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake.'" We see that he heals the diseases of our bodies. Did you notice Hezekiah told God, "I have walked before you in truth and a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." He will heal our land. In our world today, this is one thing that I think we can all agree on. Our world needs healing. We need to spend time on our face, repenting for the evil of this world and turn from our wicked ways. Then he will hear from heaven and forgive our sin and will heal our land. We may not have committed the sins that are plaguing our land today, but have we done anything to make a difference in this world? Or have we just watched as the world around us continues to wallow in sin? The very least we can do is to intercede for our land and ask for God to forgive. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah, chapter 19, verses 22, we read, "The Lord will strike Egypt, striking but healing, so they will return to the Lord, and he will respond to them and will heal them." There's a reason for the striking. It's to draw us back to the Lord. From this passage, we see that if we will return to him, he will respond and heal. This is where our land is today. If we return to him, he will heal our land. Again, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I want to emphasize this and read it again. "And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Are we willing to do this in order to save our land? In Yeshayahu 53, verse 5, we read, "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we were healed. He shall heal those who are stricken or are afflicted, the transgressor, the one who afflicted. There is nothing that he, Jehovah Rapha, can't heal, because he bore all of our sins, our sicknesses, our sorrows, and by his sacrifice, by his blood, by his stripes, we are healed." In Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, chapter 30, verses 15 through 17, we read, "Why do you cry out over your injury? Your pain is incurable, because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. I have done these things to you. Therefore, all who devour you will be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, will go into captivity, and those who plunder you will be for plunder, and all who prey upon you I will give for prey. For I will restore you to health, and I will heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast, saying, It is Zion, no one cares for her. He is in control of sickness, sorrow, and affliction, sometimes because of our iniquities or our sins. In Tehillim, or Psalms, chapter 147, verse 3, it says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Are you brokenhearted? We have a God that loves us and will heal all of our wounds. Again in Tehillim, this time chapter 103, verses 1 through 3, we read, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. When we're doing cross-referencing, one of the things that I like to do is to see if there is validation in the Brit Hadashah, or the New Testament, for what we have found in the Tanakh, the Old Testament. Remember, also, as you look at the Brit Hadashah passages, that Yeshua shows us God. He is one with the Father and only does and says what the Father does and says. We see this in John 5, verse 19. Whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. So let's go to the Brit Hadashah and see if we can find some scriptures that validate our scriptures from the Tanakh. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 through 17, we read, When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. This scripture covers physical, emotional, and spiritual sickness that he heals. In Luke 4, verse 18, we read, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. He heals the brokenhearted. He sets captives free. What are you captive to? What do you need to be set free from or to? He gives sight to the blind and sets at liberty those that are bruised. The bruising refers to emotional healing. Our final scripture, 1 Peter 2, verses 24 through 25, states, And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Through his death on the cross, our sinful nature has died, not meaning that we no longer sin, but that now we have a choice. Before, we had no choice. Not only was our sinful nature killed, but we were and are being healed by his wounds. I want us to look at the text that tells us this. It's found in the book of Romans. This book was probably written by Shaul, and it's laid out like a legal presentation. The reference I want to go to is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, or he who has died is freed for sin. Is there something in your life today that you need to be set free from, or you might need to be set free to? Has God called you to a ministry or an area of service that you just can't seem to step into? Do you feel so burdened that you can't walk in what you are created to be or do? This is the time to be set free. Again, in Shemot or Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, we see that health, healing, and obedience go together. As I read, listen carefully to the Spirit of God. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer." Like it or not, there's a direct correlation between sin and sickness. Not just physical sickness, but also sickness of the spirit and soul. And according to Shemot, Exodus chapter 15, 26, and the scriptures we have studied earlier, God is as active in wounding as he is in healing. Did you know the statement, "I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians"? Now, I imagine at this moment you're wondering if I'm saying that all sickness is due to sin. I want to respond in two ways, so hear me carefully. First, if man had not sinned, there would be no sickness. So in that sense, all sickness is due to sin. However, I don't believe that all physical or emotional illness is a consequence of personal sin. I believe that some illnesses have other causes. Let me share a few scriptures that can throw some biblical light on this issue. Although the scriptures aren't exhaustive, I believe the exercise will be of benefit to us. Yeshayahu, or Isaiah, chapter 50, verse 10, tells us, "Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." Again, as I read each scripture, note what you learn about sickness, especially in regard to sin. Is sickness always due to personal sin? Did sin cause the sickness? If so, whose sin? If you would like to use our worksheet to do this, you can download it and other study aids for free from our website, secctim.org. The last scripture I want to go to is 1 Chronicles 21, verses 10 through 14. David said to God, "I have sinned greatly in that I have done this thing. But now please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." The Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and speak to David, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose for yourself one of them, which I will do to you.'" So Gad came to David and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, take for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be swept away before your foes while the sword of your enemies overtake you, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, even pestilence in the land and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now therefore consider what answer I shall return to him who sent me." David said to Gad, "I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel. 70,000 men of Israel fell. This is a result of David's sin against God. He had determined to number Israel outside of God's will, and God sent natural disasters. I know that this is an awkward place to end our time together today, but join me next time as we learn more about our responsibility to obey the Lord. Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, secctim.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.